sound the trump in Zion. Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.
Hey there, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. I'm back. I know you're going to be disappointed, but I can't do a live stream tomorrow because I'm going somewhere with my mom, my wonderful mom who's doing so great. And so we're going to have a big time, but I just wanted to come on and make this video for you today in advance. I didn't tell you because I knew you'd be disappointed. I love our live streams, but still, we get to still hang out. All right, so I'm Melissa Red Pill, the world. This is the Freedom Force Battalion. We look at the current events in the light of God's word because this is literally biblical. Have you guys memorized Joel chapter 2? That was the passage I just read on the opener. That's Joel chapter 2. We are that great and mighty army that has appeared. Nothing has ever been seen like it or will ever be seen again. We are the great and awesome army of the Lord, and that's why we're called the Freedom Force Battalion. The Lord has brought us together so we'll fight the bad guys, and that's what we're doing. Don't forget to hit the like button, you guys. Like and subscribe. Make sure your little bell is rung so you'll always get notified when we do a video. Whether it's live or whatever, you'll be notified about it, and you can share it with everybody because it's the great news. It's the good news. All right, so let's get started. Let's talk about Trump's, what is this, week four? It's so much has happened. It's really, really hard to keep up. This is the golden age, you guys. This is so exciting. So, I want you guys to see. First of all, we're going to start with his cabinet meeting, his first cabinet meeting, this star cast of these great, amazing patriots, the A-team. He has the A-team in now. Praise the Lord. His first term, he didn't have the A-team. That was his own, for his own reasons. With this military operation that's going on, it had to be done this way. He couldn't have the A-team in then, but he can have it now. All right, so let's start with the housing and HUD secretary is going to lead in prayer, and I want you guys to see how beautiful that President Trump opens in prayer. Love it.
We'll keep you advised. Before we begin the cabinet, I'd like to have Scott and a couple of people say a few things, but most importantly, where are you? This is a gentleman who's going places, the head of HUD, and he's going to say, you all know, and you're going to say grace, and then we'll have our meeting. Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this awesome privilege, Father, to be in your presence. God, thank you that you've allowed us to see this day. The Bible says that your mercies are new every morning. And Father God, we give you the glory and the honor. Thank you, God, for President Trump, Father, for appointing us. Father God, thank you for anointing us to do this job. Father, we pray you'll give the president, the vice president, wisdom, Father God, as they lead. Father, I pray for all of my colleagues that are here around the table and in this room. Lord God, we pray that we would lead with a righteous clarity. Father God, that as we serve the people of this country in every prospective agency, every job that we have, Father, we would humble ourselves before you, and we would lead in the manner that you've called us to lead and to serve. Father, the Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But Father, we today honor you, and in your rightful place, Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity to restore faith in this country and be a blessing to the people of America. And Lord God, today in our meeting, we pray that you would be glorified in our conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I love it. So we'll just continue to pray. We always do. Every time we get together, we pray. And I'm just so thankful to be part of what the Lord is doing on this earth, and to be part of that prayer force. That's really what it is. We are winning by the by prayer and by the word of our testimony. So really beautiful. I love that. So I wanted you to hear that. And here is really what Elon said about this A-team cabinet. And he says he really doesn't extend a lot of praise, you know, unless it's merited. So check this out.
Together, I think the best cabinet ever, literally. So, I do not give false praise. This is an incredible group of people. I don't think such a talented team has actually ever been assembled. I think it's literally the best cabinet that the country has ever had. And I think the company should be incredibly appreciative of the people in this room.
Yes. That's awesome. And of course, I'm really thankful for him too and all that he is doing. So we've just gotten started. And there's so much going on, so many changes, turning this ship around, not just for the past 4 years, but really for many, many years, at least back to the Civil War. And it's going to take a minute to get all these things settled. It's just as if you have a house that's just, you know, had gone through a flood or a storm, and it's going to take a minute to get everything sorted and back in order. So this girl, Warwick, can't read the whole thing, but anyway, she made a video about Elon. There's a lot of attacks on Elon right now. There was, you know, the one about the salute. He was so funny. I can't point to anything diagonally anymore. So he just takes it so great. And there now, besides that, now they're, you know, he's had two attempts on his life. I mean, it's really outrageous. And he's doing this really just to try to save our country. Because if we, you know, there's so many ways that we could go down, whether it's, you know, our health, or the fact that we don't have the reproduction numbers are so low. It could be their finances are so bad, you know, so many strikes against us, and, you know, it's death by a thousand cuts. But he is using his amazing skills to get our financial house in order. So, you know, that's one of the things they're trying to do to destroy America, is to just bankrupt us. So anyway, check out what she said, and I'm going to show you, I've got it written down so you can listen and read it along at the same time.
Elon, then who? The man launches over 90% of the world's tonnage into outer space each year. He owns the first car company to make a profit in over 100 years. He has made the roads 10 times safer. He has pioneered full self-driving. He employs over 100,000 people. He launches a rocket into orbit every 2.5 days. SpaceX has created access to low-cost broadband internet to anywhere in the world. Because we are very spoiled in the West. Most of the world does not have cable that runs to their homes like we do in the West. He has literally reduced the cost of going into space times 10 compared to what the federal government was doing with NASA, showing extreme efficiency. And he did so as a private, in the private sector, which no one thought was possible before. SpaceX is the highest valued company in the U.S. and maybe even the world's at $350 billion. He started XAI only a year ago, and it's already valued at $78 billion and is the most advanced AI in the world, connecting more NVIDIA GPUs than anyone previously thought possible. Again, doing something that no one previously thought possible. And he did all of this in about a sixth of a time that it took any of the Magnificent Seven or leading tech AI companies. So again, extreme efficiency. He single-handedly saved free speech in the West by buying Twitter, and X is valued at $44 billion. He cut 80% of the workforce and increased gross margins by 4 times, and profitability by 2.5. And yes, we all know that revenue declined because he stood for free speech, so he lost advertising dollars. But he saved free speech, so thanks. And this doesn't even touch Neuralink, which is valued at $8 billion, and the Boring Company, which is valued at $7 billion, or Tesla robots, or the Hyperloop. At Neuralink, he's literally working to cure blindness, paralysis, and working to allow communication with people who were previously unable to communicate. He's solving traffic congestion and reimagining our transportation, making that, again, more efficient. And while he's doing all of this, he's literally volunteering like 20 hours a day to help the American people. The world has never seen anyone like Elon Musk. I genuinely feel bad for those who are not intelligent enough to appreciate Elon Musk and what he's doing for society. Because accomplishing just one of the things that he's accomplished in a lifetime would far exceed everyone else on the face of this earth. And since it's so easy, why don't you do it all? So again, if not Elon, then who?
Then who? Then who? Just look at that list. I mean, you've heard of Edison, you know, people like that that are so rare and so highly intelligent and, you know, propelled the society. He's doing that times just, I don't even know, astronomical, amazing. And really taking along with all that he's doing, like yesterday he was on Rogan. I think it was yesterday. I posted several of the clips of it where he was on Rogan trying to help everyone understand what's going on. And, you know, it's shocking. And like I said, he does have 100,000 employees. And so he has delegated so many of these things, but he has his fingers in all of these pies to make sure that everything is going, perfectly. Really amazing, really amazing person. So I'm very thankful for him and what he's doing for humanity. So share that with someone so that they can understand, you know, because there's a lot of attacks on him and it's a cheap shot, but that's what they're doing. That's what they do. All right. So here is what Levin is talking about. And President Trump mentioned the other day that we should go watch Levin, and he is trying to help everyone understand, according to the Constitution, the only constitutional court is the Supreme Court. And there was they came down with a ruling saying that there could be lower court courts with their judges, but they are not in the Constitution. Did you guys know that? Check this out.
Constitution, I ask you this question. Federal district judges don't exist. They're created. Let me ask you an even more fundamental question. We have what's called judicial review. You're hearing these legal analysts all over the place. Oh, I'm a professor. Ooh, I'm a former federal prosecutor. Ooh, I'm just a stupid host on CNN and MSNBC, and I know everything. And what do they keep saying? They keep using authoritarian, anti-democratic, he's running a coup, the same propaganda, the same crap as before. But now they're saying all these things he's doing are illegal and unconstitutional. You're at the right place at the right time. You're with me. And let me explain this.
Okay, because where he's getting is that these judges, these appointed judges, are trying to stop him as the CEO of this corporation, or you know, the chief, you know, commander in chief, from operating this government. They're trying to stop him. They're trying to use their power to prevent him from doing his job. And so this is what he's saying is these people do not have their power does not supersede President Trump's power. Check this out.
Number one, not a single one of these departments is in the Constitution. Number two, this fourth branch of government with 2.5 million civilian employees is not in the Constitution. None of it. Number three, judicial review. This is really going to upset people. Forget about Marbury versus Madison, which is the big judicial review case that essentially says the Supreme Court and therefore the lower courts have authority to make judgments over whether or not a law is constitutional or not. That was a Supreme Court decision, Marbury versus Madison. That is not in the Constitution. I'm talking about the Constitution. I'm not talking about court decisions. The Constitution. There's no judicial review. So it's an implied power. It's a necessary power. Somebody's got to make these decisions. But if it's an implied power, it's not an affirmative, granted, authoritative power in the Constitution under Article 3 for the one court they created, the Supreme Court, then how is it that all these hundreds and hundreds of trial federal courts created by Congress and the President under a Judiciary Act
Right. So what he's saying is, how are they allowed to supersede what President Trump is doing? And he's saying that they cannot. And so don't worry about that, because whatever they try to do, it's, if they try to stop President Trump on whatever it is, the Supreme Court will back them down and say, you do not have the authority to do that. And they've already done that on several cases. So, you know, that's what President Trump wanted us to see, this coming not from him, but coming from someone like Mark Levin. All right, so the next thing is, President Trump just signed this executive order to dismantle and defund the deep state cabal government. And he posted the entire thing on X. I mean, it's literally like gigantic pages that I had to post on Telegram, because it won't fit all those words. So it's the whole executive order. And basically, this is to rein in the government waste and officially implement DOGE's cost efficiency initiative. So what all they're going to do with this gigantic sword is to cut all this waste, fraud, and abuse. They are killing us with all of these the waste that they've done. Anyway, he says, by the authority vested in me as president of by the Constitution and the laws of the U.S. United States of America, it is hereby ordered, Section 1, this order commences a transformation in federal spending on contracts, grants, and loans to ensure government spending is transparent and government employees are accountable to the American people. So then it goes on and on about what they're going to do is, and you'll see, I'll show you some of these in a little bit, how they've, you know, sliced and diced and getting rid of these in each of the departments around that cabinet meeting, around that big table. Each one is on orders to clean out their waste, fraud, and abuse. And I think the State Department had, I don't know, some crazy amount of billions of dollars that they cut out. I think I've got a clip of that. Anyway, so this is what President Trump signed, this dismantle basically the deep state. But dismantle the deep state, how they have you know, controlled all the purse strings, and you know, forget Congress. they've been able to do it. Unelected bureaucrats just, you know, write a check. There's not even a category. There's not even a name on it. It's just send this check, and you don't even know how to even trace it back as to what it was spent for, who it went to. I mean, it's absolutely worse, 10 times worse than Elon could ever have imagined it to have been. All right, so let's talk about our wonderful Dan Scavino posting time to abolish the IRS. This was from Planet of Memes. I love it. I love it. So he posted this the other day. So he put out a vote about who votes to remove the IRS. I think the last time I looked at it, it was at 98%, and like 100,000 people had voted. All right, so this girl is talking about how they're closing down all these offices. So piece by piece, brick by brick, we are removing our tyrants from over us. How awesome is that? So this is Lauren Taylor from the Something Something Straight America News. Check this out.
Administration is planning to close more than 100 Internal Revenue Services offices, the Washington Post reports. The plan was outlined in a letter from the U.S. General Services Administration and obtained by the Post. The U.S. GSA is a federal agency responsible for managing federal buildings, real estate, and contracts. The cuts come in the middle of tax season, which ends April 15th, and as the Trump administration looks to downsize the federal workforce. According to the U.S. GSA's letter, at least 113 taxpayer assistance centers will have their leases terminated or not renewed when they expire, according to the Post. According to the agency, a taxpayer assistance center provides in-person help for taxpayers during the filing season. Under the Biden administration, Congress approved nearly $80 billion in additional funding for the IRS, which was made available through the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Congress later rescinded some...
Okay, blah, 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 blah. The point is, they're shutting it down. They're shutting down these offices. And so not only to save us money, but the fewer people they have working with the IRS, I mean, just let's go just abolish the whole thing. Get rid of the whole thing. Now, here we are. It is March 1st. We have until, you know, April 15th. I mean, he could say it at any point. He could say it, you know, whatever, after the April 15th. But wouldn't it be great if by April 15th he says, look, you know, don't even worry about filing your taxes. Wouldn't that be great? Don't worry. If you've already filed your taxes, you can get your money back. I mean, this is the kind of thing that with what we have seen, with all of the waste that we've seen, I just I think that no one's in the mood. We're like, file an extension. We'll see what happens on the IRS. It's exciting, exciting to watch. And this is what it talks about in God's word. I've read this to you many times, but we also know the passage in Proverbs that says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, right? All that they have done to us, and that they will not be able to enslave us anymore. And that goes to Isaiah 65, verse 22, unlike the past. Invaders will not take their houses and confiscate their vineyards. That's exactly what they've done. They don't need the money. They just stacked up the gold because they don't want us to have it. They know if we are pinched down and struggling that we don't have the time or the mental energy to be able to go and fight them and even find out what they were doing to fight them. And so that's, you know, I'm telling you, that COVID thing, when they told everybody to go home and basically sit on and look at their phone for all day long, that was the worst thing they ever could have done, because now a lot of people woke up during that time. Anyway, so no more will they be able to confiscate everything that you work so hard to earn, and basically where you just have hand to mouth type of thing. For my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard won gains. What do you mean time to enjoy? That means you won't be working so hard that you just, all you can do is be like the donut man. You remember that old commercial, the donut man? He would go round and round, and he would just go work and then go home and get a shower, go to sleep, wake up, go back to work. It was just ridiculous, where you don't even have time to enjoy your life. So no more of that. No more of this being slaves. They will not work in vain. In other words, just to keep food in your mouth, right? And their children will not be doomed to misfortune. Praise the Lord. So this is what we're heading for. Abolish the IRS. Yes, Dan, we say yes, yes, yes. And it'll be an external revenue service. We have to change. The reason he's seeding our thoughts, and I'm seeding your thoughts on this as far as biblically, is because we've got to start even imagining that we don't have to have these tyrants over us where they tax us to death. So just hang on tight. We're going to get there. Now, this whole thing about the Epstein, y'all want to talk about that? This was a really a big rodeo. And I was just hearing Ian Carroll talk about when this comes out and people realize what the whole deal was with Epstein Island, which we already know a lot of it, but that Epstein Island was used by MOOOOSSSSSAD, right? To control these politicians, to have them on some kind of video where they're blackmailed and have them under their control, because you know all of Congress is controlled by these people, right? When people find out that is the highest level of treason, and obviously this group is not at all our ally. Okay, and I'm not talking about the regular common people. I'm always talking about the ones at the top, right? And that this is really the top of the pyramid people. But when that all comes out, it's going to be a gigantic earthquake. The Bible talks about this gigantic earthquake. What is that? This gigantic earthquake is that to expose who are the true controllers. So, it's what we had this week was a rumbling, and it got a lot of people who hadn't been paying attention interested in what is this about? What is that about? So that's where you guys come in handy. That's what our job is to put this information out there so that people start to go, hey, what's going on about Epstein Island? And, because a lot of people have not been paying attention, but now there maybe some more people are. So anyway, that basically what we got the other day was a nothing burger. All right. It was the same old canned stuff. And this is what Pam Bondi said. What she posted is the Attorney General Pam Bondi demands Epstein files by February 28th. Well, here we are on the 1st, and we don't have it yet. Okay, so just hold on. Orders the FBI probe into why they are hiding the documents. And that right there alone, if you tell people they're hiding the documents, well, that should spark their interest. Why in the world would they hide these documents? Why is everybody hair on fire? Because we've been waiting for these documents and they have not released them. And why is everybody upset about it? Well, because there's some very high-level criminals that need to be held to an account for their crimes, yes, against children, but she said 254 children and women. And yes, that's horrible. But also even bigger is just crimes against our country, crimes against humanity. Okay, it goes to how they control these the government. Attorney General Pam Bondi requests the full and complete files related to Jeffrey Epstein, including approximately 200 pages of documents, Epstein's flight logs, his list of contacts, a list of victims' names, and phone numbers. She notes she repeatedly asked the FBI if the FBI had the full set of documents, but was assured by the FBI that they did, based on the FBI field office in New York's possession. All right. She later learned that through other sources that the FBI's investigation and indictment of Epstein were incomplete, and the FBI never disclosed the full extent of the files despite her repeated requests. By 8 a.m. on February 28th, the FBI must deliver the full Epstein files, including all records, audio, video recordings, and materials to Bondi's office. The Department of Justice will not withhold or limit access to these files, ensuring public disclosure to protect victims' privacy while complying with the law. Bondi orders an immediate investigation into why her previous order to the FBI regarding the Epstein files was not followed. A comprehensive report of the findings and proposed personnel actions must be delivered to her within 14 days. Who is hiding this? What, you know, give me the names of these people and they're going to be held responsible. Bondi emphasizes her commitment to transparency for the American people and looks forward to working with Director Kash Patel to serve the president and the country. Okay, so she is, this is, now we're finding that there's 1,000, she had a video out that like 1,000 pages of documents are with the Southern District of New York. What are they doing there and why have they not turned these over? And you know, we know that that place is one of the biggest places to hide all this evidence and to keep all this from coming out. So we will just one step at a time. And then Kash Patel put this out. He says the FBI is entering a new era, one that will be defined by integrity, accountability, and the unwavering pursuit of justice. There will be no cover-ups, no missing documents, no stone left unturned. And anyone from the prior or current bureau who undermines this will be swiftly pursued. If there are gaps, we will find them. If records have been hidden, we will uncover them. And we will bring everything we find to the DOJ to be fully assessed and transparently disseminated to the American people, as it should be. The oath we take is to the Constitution, and under my leadership, that promise will be upheld without compromise. Thank you, Kash Patel. That was on February 27th, and 6.6 million people have seen that. So there's a lot of people who are holding their breath and waiting to see this, but it's going to be an earthquake. And so I can understand how this might not have happened on that day, that they would first do like a little rumbling before the major earthquake. Because this will be gigantic. And it is, I just looked at Purim, it's on the 14th, on the full moon, which is coming up. That's actually like 2 weeks from today is the 14th. And we're going to, you know, have this, you know, potentially, you know, that might be a big day. I just feel like Purim is a really big day. Biblically, that is the day. And if you haven't seen these videos, go to my freedomforce.live and look at the videos on Esther, E-S-T-H-E-R, or Purim, P-U-R-I-M. And that was the day when the evildoers who had a contract out basically against all of God's people, it turned out it would boomerang, and they were the ones who were destroyed instead of God's people. So doesn't that sound very biblical that would happen? If you're not familiar with my books, one of the ones that I wrote is End Times. This is biblical. And I go into that story in the book and also on the audio book. You can see that, but anyway, it's one of the stories that is being played out. These Bible stories that we've always known, it was like, oh, this is actually what's happening. We are going to cast, you know, the very evildoers who tried to destroy us, literally, you know, genocide us, kill us off, they will be destroyed. Okay, so yeah, if you want to check that out on Amazon, and also here on freedomforce.live, you go right here to the audiobooks and you can actually listen to the book. Sometimes that's easier if you just listen to it when you're on your commute. All right, so I really appreciate Kash Patel and Pam Bondi, and trust me, they're going to get to the bottom of it. And this is a passage in Amos. Amos talks about, there's one of the places, many, many places in the minor prophets, they told us about the destruction of this criminal network. And, you know, when I would read the minor prophets, I just didn't get it. But once I realized that the New World Order is the Antichrist, and this is who the minor prophets were talking about, it all made sense. I'm like, that's the evildoers they were talking about. I just, didn't understand it. All right, so it says, strike the tops of the temple columns so that the foundation will shake. Bring down the roof on the heads of the people below, and I will kill with the sword those who survive. Okay, so you've already had the entire rooftop come down on you. Think of Samson. Remember how he brought down the two columns? It's like the church and the state that they've hijacked, and he's bringing them down. So you're not going to run the church and the state anymore. It says here, even once the whole rooftop comes down, then kill with the sword anyone who survived that. It's the picture is not one will escape. Right where it says it in verse 1. This is, again, Amos chapter 9, verse 1. Even if they dig down to the place of the dead, I will reach down and pull them up. Even if they climb up into the heavens, I will bring them down. Even if they hide at the very top of Mount Carmel, this really high mountain in the northern part of Israel, I will search them out and capture them. Even if they hide at the bottom of the ocean, I will send the sea serpent after them to bite them. Even if their enemies drive them into exile, I will command the sword to kill them there. I am determined to bring disaster upon them and not to help them. How do you like some Amos chapter 9? If you doubt that the Lord will destroy these people, don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. This is the day. This is the day. I talk about that also in the book, End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. That there's the great sign of the Son of Man that we saw September 23rd, 2017. And 7 years later, President Trump started calling on the Day of Atonement. He called this the Golden Age, and that's the Millennial Kingdom. I go into all that on End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. If you want to learn more about what the minor prophets said about destroying these people and the beautiful days we're going to go into, go to Major Clues from Minor Prophets. It's really, really, really good news. All right, so then the next thing, I want you to hear where they're talking about the NATO aggression. Now, Piers Morgan is very weird in his language about this. He's like, oh no, we're not the aggressors. We're actually protectors. We're trying to protect, basically by when they had this rule, they had this agreement that NATO would not expand into Ukraine and they would not put weapons onto their right on the border of Russia. This was an agreement, long-standing agreement, and they kept inching closer and inching closer and inching closer. And then he says, oh no, we're not the aggressor. We're not the aggressor. I mean, how messed up is that? And this guy, I think his name is Dave, whatever his name is, he says it in such a great way. I wanted you guys to hear how he says it.
Anyone wants to go read, because the CIA director for all 4 years of Joe Biden's administration, who was the CIA director while this entire war was going on, Burns, right? He is the one who authored the Nyet Means Nyet memo that was sent to Condoleezza Rice, and this was not for the public.
Okay, that Nyet Means Nyet is no means no. Do not put your weapons on our border. Do not have Ukraine join with NATO. No means no. We've already talked about this. We've already made an agreement. And why are you not keeping the agreement?
We only know about this because Julian Assange leaked it. But he said he was, at the time, he was the ambassador to Russia. And he put up this entire document where he was like, look, these plans of including Ukraine in NATO is going to be a disaster. And I've been over here talking with everybody in Russia, not just Vladimir Putin, even his sharpest liberal critics. They all agree that this is the brightest of red lines for them. They will not tolerate Ukraine yep. being a part of America's military alliance. And I just don't understand why no... Of course, we would not tolerate that either. If China or Russia wanted to bring Mexico into their military alliance and then just announced, as they did 2 months after this memo at the Bucharest summit, that they were going forward with that, and then there was... and then they poured tens, maybe over $100 million into a street protest, which overthrew the democratically elected president of Mexico, who was going to make a deal with us, and then went in the other. We would have the exact same, and I don't think Washington, D.C. would be above invading Mexico if that's what they needed to do. We would never tolerate that. And we could recognize that Vladimir Putin is no angel and also understand that the West put him into a situation where he reasonably could claim, I cannot tolerate what your plans are here. What's the point of us doing this? It makes no sense. It's not in all.
Right. I really appreciate him saying it so clearly. I mean, if anybody, a child could understand that if someone did what NATO has done in Ukraine, if they did this in Mexico, we would say, are you crazy? You can't put these weapons on our doorstep. Are you out of your mind? You know, and so his argument is extremely reasonable, but these people don't can't hear it. And it's not that they're stupid. It's that they don't want to hear it. They don't want to because they're on orders from their masters to promote this war and to go and fight against Putin. And this is what the military-industrial complex does. They put people in these positions, raise them up in the government, raise them up in the media, so that they will help to promulgate these wars. And, you know, throw reason out the window because war is unreasonable. It's unreasonable that you could not make a deal and all of a sudden, oh, let's go kill people over, you know, and spend ungodly amounts of money on these weapons. So this is, they are bound and determined to do this war. That's the whole point of Zelensky going in. I think that's my next. Yeah, let me go. Let's talk about this whole thing. This whole, you know what, yesterday in the Oval Office. But he's under orders by his masters to continue this war. And it does not matter what President Trump has to say. He has no authority to say, okay, we'll make peace, because he's just a cokehead. Hello, McGregor said that. He put a truth out that this guy's a cokehead. He's not someone who can make any of these decisions. And so what President Trump wanted us to see is how these are not legitimate negotiations. There's absolutely zero sense what the negotiations that we're having up here. They seriously do not want peace, and everybody sees it now. Everybody knows it now. So I want you to see, I just love, they were in there talking first, and then I think that JD and President Trump know that the discussions they had in the back room, they know that this guy is not in control of his emotions. He's not in control. You know, he's not a good negotiator. He's not someone who can hold his cards close to his vest. I mean, you can see by the look on his face, he's not a good poker player at all. He's just this, homosexual dancer. Y'all have seen the videos. I'm sure you have. This man is evil. And of course that's why they picked him, because they could easily control him, because he doesn't care. He has no morals. He just wants, to be have the power and the money. And so they knew if they pushed his buttons, he would, the littlest, tiniest provocation, and he would go ape. So, yeah, JD started this, and the more I hear JD, the more I love him. He is not playing, and he's also supporting President Trump compared to Pence, who did not. So check this out.
Exchange prisoners. We signed the exchange of prisoners, but he didn't do it. What kind of diplomacy, JD, you asking me about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you,
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come to the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine? Did you see what problems we have?
I have been to...
Then come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people in your military? And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems. Even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because you're in no position to dictate that.
That's exactly what you're doing.
You're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good. We're going to feel very good and very strong. You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and he happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having cards. But right now, you don't. Yeah, you're playing cards. You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country, that's backed you far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said?
Oh, my God. Okay, you got to hear this.
thank you once this entire meeting? No, in this
even
entire
today,
meeting, you said thank
even
you.
Today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
And everything that they're saying is true. Everything that they're saying is true. And if the man had even an inkling of desire to have peace, he would say, yes, we need to work out something to bring peace. We need to find some agreement because the people are dying and all of this. But they knew he was not going to do that. He's not for peace, and we needed to see it. The American people needed to see it. All they want is more money, and that's exactly what Biden had given them. Billions and billions and billions and billions, on and on and on it goes. Well, now today they went over to Britain and they got, I don't know, 2.5 billion, some crazy amount of money from their coffers. Anyway, so this is a wild deal that this happened. There's nothing like this has ever happened in the Oval Office, and so they're really upset that the powers that be are upset because clearly their water boy, the one who's up there representing them and representing to continue this war, did a horrible job. And basically JD and President Trump ran circles around them. So that's they really are messed up because they should never put their trust in the negotiating skills of a cokehead to go up against JD and President Trump, two of the best negotiators there ever were, and they just went and absolutely destroyed him. So you're not even thankful for all the money that we have given to you, and you're trying to bring us into World War III, and we're not having it. Okay, so then, this is right before President Trump kicked him out, basically saying this is the American people needed to see this, and this has made great television.
To make a deal.
Oh gosh, now that's too loud. Hold on, let me turn this down.
I don't know if you can make a deal. The problem is, I've empowered you to be a tough guy. And I don't think you'd be a tough guy without the United States. And your people are very brave. But you're either going to make a deal or we're out. And if we're out, you'll fight it out. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but you'll fight it out. But you don't have the cards. But what?
I just find it so disrespectful that he's not even looking at President Trump. It's like, have you ever had a very disrespectful child and you're trying to tell them that they cannot do whatever it is and they're not even looking at you to show you that respect? Oh my gosh, this, and you could tell the way President Trump was talking to him while he's not even looking at him is really, he's really being gruff. And then when he turns to him, all of a sudden President Trump calms down. At least you're looking at me. It was unbelievable. I mean, that's negotiating skills 101. He is just a terrible poker player.
Once we sign that deal, you're in a much better position, but you're not acting at all thankful. And that's not a nice thing. I'll be honest, that's not a nice thing. All right, I think we've seen enough. What do you think?
Huh?
This is going to be great television, I will say that.
Yep, it has been. I'm telling you, everybody has seen this and knows that Zelensky was kicked out. And even Lindsey Graham, I've got a clip here in a second about Lindsey Graham, even said, he says, when I saw in the Oval Office, what I saw was disrespectful, and I don't even know if we can ever do business with Zelensky again. Now, in my opinion, he's not talking about doing business with him as far as giving them money, because Lindsey Graham, as you know, is a huge war hawk. He's gone over there many times saying we need to support Ukraine and all that, and he's saying that on the surface, it's that, but it's also saying we cannot use this cokehead as our representative to bring in war. he's fired. We're going to have to kill him off. I mean, the guy really, he's not very smart. Okay. First of all, he's not very smart, and he should know that he died in a plane crash. Something like that could very quickly happen to him, and they'll put someone else in or just say, you have to resign. We'll put someone else in who would have better negotiating skills. So that was wild. Now, Marco Rubio immediately, okay, so let me back up. And so they kicked him out. And President Trump posted he disrespected the United States of America in its cherished Oval Office. He can come back when he is ready for peace. All right. And actually today he posted, we're ready to make the mineral deal. Well, but then the next post, the next very next tweet on X, whatever, was that he's saying, oh, but we can't work with Putin. It's like that man needs to shut up. He's stupid. He's just taking a stupid pill. So he really should shut up, or they should take away his ex and say, look, we're going to have somebody else control your ex because you're making things 10 times worse. You're not coming back until you agree. And I'm telling you, if let's just say he wants to sign the mineral deal. Does anybody think that President Trump will let him sign the mineral deal without having peace? That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So the guy is, he's either, I don't know what his problem is. He's too much on coke. He does not understand about life. He's all he is, y'all. He's just, the man's got problems. The man's got serious problems, moral problems. All right, so Marco Rubio, State Department has terminated the U.S. state support of Ukraine's energy grid restoration. There you go. That's the end of that. Stupid. You screwed up big time. If we leave you, President Trump was saying it very clearly, if the American people, if you get the help from the U.S. government, then your country can be put back on the right footing, that we can, you know, to save all these lives, blah, blah, blah. We can, all these things can be great. Your energy grid can be great. All this can be great. But if you refuse to make peace, then it's going to go badly. But the problem is, neither he nor these people who are looking so crazy and don't even understand about NATO, they do not have the right to speak the truth about the war. They don't have the right to do it. They are controlled by their handlers, and they are not allowed to say the truth. So for you to, or me, to try to understand their reasoning, you cannot, there's no reasoning with these people. You cannot, their arguments don't make sense. Clearly, there's an agreement. You cannot have Ukraine enter into NATO. You cannot have war missiles on Russia's doorstep. And they just like, oh, well, of course we can. I mean, because they are mouthpieces of the warmongers. Okay, so if you're trying to explain it to someone, that's the only way to explain it. That we cannot, you know, Russia will not stop as long as they are trying to bring Ukraine into NATO in the military alliance and to have missiles on Russia's doorstep, and we would do the same thing. So Zelensky can't say it either because he's a paid mouthpiece. All right, so I want you to see that. And this is what President Trump posted yesterday on the 28th of February at 1:16, he said, we had a very meaningful meeting in the White House today. Much was learned that could never be understood without conversation under such fire and pressure. It's amazing what comes out through emotion, and I have determined that President Zelensky is not ready for peace if America is involved, because he feels our involvement gives him a big advantage in negotiations. I don't want advantage. I want peace. I want peace. I want the killing to stop. He disrespected the United States of America and its cherished Oval Office. He can come back when he is ready for peace. So he's saying he wants the deal. I'm telling you, the man better say his prayers, because I think it's curtains for him. Okay, so this is so a couple of other things I want to say before we jet, and that is that the cartels. This is another thing that's going on. President Trump's doing so many things all at the same time. Absolute genius. So. You know, the cartels have run Mexico. Okay, you know that. The cartels have run Mexico for years. That's why so many people have come here from Mexico, because the cartels are ruthless and you can't survive there. And if you say anything against them, you're dead. It's just awful. And so now they're saying about the cartels. Let me see if I have it in writing to read it to you. No, that's something else. Anyway, so I'll play a little clip of this. Basically, that they're saying that they are getting rid of the cartels. Well, a couple of these big cartel leaders have been extradited into America, and they're saying that they're wiping out the cartels. And, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. Let's just see what they say.
We heard from the president yesterday that the tariffs are coming, and we're going to talk about that throughout the morning. They're going to come down hard on Mexico to the tune of 25%. And when Mexico heard about it, he started negotiating with the president, Sheinbaum, down in Mexico. So what does she do? Just a couple of days before the tariffs are supposed to go into effect, she releases these, we extradite into the United States. He's 29 jailed cartel members, including somebody who is at the top of the most wanted list for 40 years. She also is pulling out all the stops, they say. This is Mexico's point of view. They've arrested more than 400 people since February after she announced that they were going to send 10,000 troops to the northern border for them. They've seized 12 tons of narcotics, coke, meth, and 120 pounds of methamphetamines and fentanyl. It's all about trying to keep those tariffs from happening, but they're happening on Tuesday.
Yeah, Donald Trump's going to...
All right, so we will see. I would love it if the Mexican government would shut down the cartels, but the problem is they're one and the same. So, you know, we are putting the pressure on them. Our military is putting the pressure on them, so we'll see what happens. Plus, the tariffs are putting a lot of pressure. So that, just keep praying. We've got to get that stopped. The other thing is, in you know, one of the things that USAID was that they stole the election from Bolsonaro. Now that makes sense because they with the CIA, installed election machines. These famous election machines, of course, our wonderful Mike Lindell has been talking about for so long. He just, you know, he has all the evidence, but it's been just about impossible to get the truth out. And they've just about, you know, wiped the man out. Do y'all know that? They just about wiped out Mike Lindell. So if you need anything for your house, go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Melly and get whatever you can from him. Okay, towels, pillows, sheets, whatever it is. He has fought valiantly to stop these election machines. Well, this is exactly what they did in Brazil, and that's why the poor people are suffering horribly under Lula, this communist, and it was all because of USAID money to install these election machines that they didn't want and that they stole the election through these same very election machines. Okay, so this is, I wanted you to make sure you understood that that's exactly what they've done. They've started these color revolutions, and yes, they use the money to start these protests, but they also use the money to install these horrible election machines that they've had in our country too, that are awful. All right, so I'm not going to read that whole thing, but you get the point. You can stop in the video and read that if you want to. And the other thing is that Libs of TikTok put this out. The federal government is funding opposition to Trump with our own tax money. Through the 50% of the biggest Medicaid contract in history in New York, and a $1 billion of that is going to this union whose stated goal is to fight President Trump. Our tax money. I'm telling you, come on, Elon, put a stop to this. Claw this money back. End up, you know, stop all the evil that they are doing. It's absolutely unbelievable. So I wanted you to see that. And then the other thing, this is so exciting. I love this. RFK Jr. halts $460 million Biden-era COVID-19 vaccine contract. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. So they won't have the money to make these horrible vaccines that are basically killer vaccines. Praise the Lord. I know they're not really vaccines, but you know what I mean. It's saying there on the contract that they're vaccines. So thank you so much, RFK Jr. So he's in there trying to figure out, you know, how they're stealing money from us and to try to kill us. And every one of these people around the table, every one of these secretaries is working so hard to remove the waste, but also all that money that is being used against us and against people all over the world. So I wanted you to see that. Very, very exciting. If you, the other thing is soon, I can't wait until when this happens. I know soon he's going to start coming out with, you know, how to improve your health, stopping these chemtrails and all these things. But we haven't really heard very much out of him yet, but just buckle up and stay tuned. But if you haven't done the research of yourself, go to my page, freedomforce.live/health, H-E-A-L-T-H, and you can see where RFK takes the methylene blue. And you can read on here under freedomforce.live/blue. You can see all the health benefits of methylene blue. Amazing. I'm taking it every day. Now just, you know, your tinkle will turn green, but it's okay. It's because you know it's in there and it's working. And also the silver solution, I told you that was taken off my video that we just put on YouTube. I got a strike on YouTube. Yeah, But why would they do that? Why would they do that? Because this is an amazing health benefits to silver. I take it every day. I do the spray in my mouth. I do the nasal spray. I do the water that I put into my smoothie. Just so good for us to get rid of this. It's a natural antibiotic. So check it out. Also, all these amazing health benefits. This is the detox I would use every day. You can also see on here how to cleanse your water. You've got to make sure that you cleanse every bit of water so that you don't put toxins and put all these this stuff into your body that has to be detoxed out. So the cleaner that you can eat, the better. Go to freedomforce.live/green smoothies and you can find out, you know, just stuff that you can get at the grocery store that you can make your own smoothie and you can prevent all this these toxins from coming into your body to begin with, okay? And cleanse your water. I know I said that, but cleanse your water. Watch these videos on here because this is, you're really trying to understand what it is. Because you remember when I got poisoned, the zeolite and the way that God made these ingredients, they go and grab the toxin, the poison, and they can hold like 2,000 times their weight and remove it from your body. Also, what is it called? The bentonite clay. And it can just amazing, like a little vacuum, really even like a magnet, but they're attracted to all this and then they just eliminate it from your body. Absolutely amazing. If you have anyone with gallstones, check this out. Just, we have got to get our health back. Oh, something else. Dear friend of mine has been smoking for years and years. And I need to add this to the thing. That's on my to-do list. I always have a such big to-do list. I'm going to circle it in blue. This is a book called How to Stop Smoking. And he's not smoking anymore. It's called How to Stop Smoking. I'm going to put that on here too. How to Stop Smoking. If you have someone who's had heavy menstrual periods after the jab, try this herb. My dear friend took it and it stopped within 2 days. She had stopped. It was amazing. So this is what we're doing. We're going to get our health back. I've made a few changes to the website. You can see the most recent videos are right here at the top now. And also, if you go to the End Times page, you can see a lot of great things. freedomforce.live/endtimes, or you can see it from here, right here. And just something that's probably pretty easy for you to share with people. And you can give me your ideas and your thoughts on how I can make it really easy to understand for everyone. That's my goal. Don't forget, here's all of our social media. Make sure you go to and join with us in all of these places and that you like and you share and you subscribe and you have your bell rung and all that. So let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for all that you're doing to save us, to save our countries, to save the world. Thank you that we are seeing through it now. Thank you for these amazing, brave, hardworking people. And just thank you for my battalion. I pray you just continue to protect them and guide them and strengthen them and bless them, Lord, and just help them to know that you are right beside them and that you never, never leave our side and that you're going to just take care of them and guide them into all truth, guide them into all health, and that we're going to get our days are going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. Lord, help us to buckle up and get ready, because once this comes out and this big earthquake, it's probably going to be really tough and they're going to lie about it a lot. And a lot of people are going to be really confused. So help us to be able to help others to understand. We've got to remove the corruption. We've got to remove this evil from this earth. Lord, help us to be brave. Help us to be strong. Help us to be courageous. And we know you will. You've seen us through this far, and you're going to see us through to these bright, beautiful days that you have in plan, have in store for us. We love you, and we praise you, and we thank you, and we pray all this in your great name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, guys, I love you. I'm going to go, and I will talk to you later.